preach a long time. How about that? You need to stretch. No, let's sing so it comes from your diaphragm. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Brother Otis, won't you come do the announcements?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Glad to see you here. Hope you've had a good afternoon and a restful afternoon and a peaceful afternoon, and pray for a good week for you.
Amen.
All of us have issues to deal with in our life. And if you say you don't, the Bible says you're a liar. So I didn't call you a liar, but his word tells us if we don't tell the truth, we're what?
Liar.
But have many thoughts and things on my mind, prayer requests, and I put a couple that was in our church for years, Dean and Dan and Dina Bates. They're both in failing health. I talked to the brother-in-law and the brother to Dina this week, and they're in assisted living, and she wants to go home, but he's not able to take care of her. So, and we're all going to face something to that if time goes on and we go on. So just pray for them. Many other requests that's out there in the prayer list, and you got a prayer list with you this morning, I hope. But just remember those on a prayer list. We take the prayer list, and sometimes we forget all about it. So if you do a daily devotional, put the prayer list close to your devotional or your Bible, and you'll remember to pray for them. Or I say often, to put it in two other places, on the refrigerator. We go there pretty often, or the bathroom. So makes good bathroom reading sometimes. So read the prayer list, meditate on it, and just know that they're hurting or they wouldn't be on the prayer list. Announcements. Brother Paul, this morning he wanted me to announce, and I'm announcing again, we're receiving this week the boxes downstairs from 3 to 5. If you can volunteer or want to volunteer, you're welcome to come. There's not a sign-up sheet. You just come and be here 3 to 5 this week.
Some of the best conversation you'll ever have.
Yeah, you can meditate, talk on God's word, solve all the world problems.
That's right.
And receive shoe boxes at the same time. Now, what more could you do? Also, I made an appeal to the church this morning for someone or several ones to step up and work in children's ministry. And we had a volunteer.
Hallelujah.
Who said, I'm willing to do that because I want children in the church. So I'm appreciative of them so much.
Amen.
It's not time-consuming, but you have to be consistent, and that's what some of us are not. We're not consistent in the Lord. We're not consistent in our lives, and it soon becomes a habit. But I'm thankful for that person, and I know she'll do a good job. So the Lord has given us help in time of need. Any other announcements I need to make?
Praise the Lord, our choir is back. Go 6 o'clock Wednesday night, choir practice, and then service at 7. Even if you don't feel led to maybe be in the choir on Sunday morning, come, it's fun just to sing together.
Come and sing. If you can't sing or don't feel like you can sing, just come and hum. I heard Chuck Swindoll tell a story about singing in the choir. And a lot of you know him through reading behind him or reading his commentations on the Bible. And he said, the church begged me and pleaded with me and insisted I sing in the choir. And he said, they didn't know I couldn't sing a lick, honestly. He said, but you know what? I got up there anyway. And he said, for all they knew, I was singing buttermilk, buttermilk, buttermilk. Because he said, I could not sing and keep up with the tune, couldn't follow the order of the music, but he said, I got up there and tried, and that's what we're asking you to do. You don't have to be good, you just have to be available.
Amen.
God don't expect us to be good, he expects us to be available. So if you can't sing a lick, come anyway, and you can join me, you can stand beside me up there. But thankfully, you're here, and thank you for our church family, and most of all, for giving us life and salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the service. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for dying on the cross to pay a debt that you didn't owe, but you paid the debt for me and everyone else. And we thank you, God, it was eternal. It wasn't a debt that's going to come back again to haunt us somewhere down the road. It's paid in full. When you hung on the cross and said, it is finished, it was finished. Everything was done that needed to be done for salvation for us lost souls. And we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for our church family, for our pastor, who is so willing, Lord, to preach the word, not some fairy tale, not some feel-good sermon, but the word. And we thank you, Lord, so much for sending him and Amy and the family here to be with us. And we know we're blessed. And we just thank you for the blessings you give us every day, even the blessing of just being able to stand up and go from our bedside to go to the floor and walk. We forget that sometimes, but ask someone who can't walk and they would give anything to be able to do that again. But we just thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace and for being almighty and all-powerful. And we just thank you so much for our church family that we love and that we know they love us. And we just ask you to continue to be with us and help us to stay steadfast and moving toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be in the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis, chapter 15. And as you're turning there, if you are watching by Facebook, if you're listening in the parking lot tonight, or if you're in-house, we just want to tell you it's a blessing to have you down, have you here with us. And Amy, you're going to have to go down to my office, because I got the wrong Bible. Got the wrong Bible. Look, it's my hardback Spurgeon. It's yellow looking. It's the ESV. And Lord, that made me say that in front of my daddy, if he's listening. He's King James only. It's just amazing how God blesses us. Mom and daddy, they start talking about the having the issues with the internet tonight, and we were having it in the Awana. They couldn't get connected, had trouble with it. But my daddy's church down in Georgia starts at 5 o'clock, and so I was watching him there on 5 o'clock. And a man that we pray for, Ricky Sheffield, he needs a touching hand from the Lord. We call him out quite often. We will be here in just a minute. He was watching at the same time, and so it was amazing how the Lord could bring us together over miles and over mountains and even situations, and we were able to worship together there. But if you are watching tonight, if you're listening and you don't really know much about Thomas Village, or if this will be the first and only impression we have on you, I pray that you'll remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll be willing just to open up your life to him tonight, he'll do even greater things than your imagination could ever imagine. We do tonight want to thank God for our services this morning. Thank the Lord. I don't know why I grabbed that. Thankful for God adding to us with the McKinneys, and just thankful for the Lord moving in our presence. And God is being good to us, and the more I study, the more. Did you make sure there was something in it too? What, baby? That's the wrong one. No, it ain't. You're right. but we are thankful that God is still. The more I study, and the more I just see, as you're turning to Genesis chapter 15, the more I see. As we're becoming arrogant in our sin again. I mean, as you and I say that as a human being, just a part of the humanity and the human race. I've been studying tonight. We were going to talk about what does surrender look like, but I got to doing some background study on covenants, and so we're going to be looking at covenants tonight. And then that ever since the beginning, since the first covenant. In Genesis chapter 6, really, there's one before that, but when the first word, I ain't going to get into all that. Well, I'll preach in a minute. But do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight as before we begin? I'm thankful for the rut and things being regular, not deer hunting. But, you know, sometimes it's good to know what's coming next on the list. You know what I'm saying? Thank God. They say, well, rut's just a grave with the ends knocked out of it. Well, I don't know. I pretty well like it to know what's coming. But things get hectic in our lives at times, and we don't see where it's coming from, and it'll thank God for it. But we are becoming more and more arrogant, and you look back at God and the way he deals with us, that it's a wonder that he has not let his hand of judgment fall already. But hallelujah, as we pray, I don't know if Miss Donna has heard this, but you know, as we pray for lost souls on every Tuesday, we just got to remember one of the verses that we quote is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the only reason that he hasn't, is because of his grace and his mercy. Amen. Any other words of praise or testimony? We want to remember Kelly, I think her last name is Rose. This is Sister Susan and Brother Scott Carter's daughter. She was having to have her gallbladder taken out, and I talked with them between services, or texted with them between services, and basically it's coming, just don't know when. You know, it's the everything's got to get on the right page. So promised them we'd be praying. The Mark Early family, we want to pray for them. Officer Michael Chandler and family, just a sad state and situation. But, you know, I think about that, and then in the last 12 months in Chicago, there's been 800 murders. And it's just the times. It's dark. But praise God, we have the only thing that keeps the light from shining is darkness. And hallelujah, Jesus will shine. He'll get his glory. And we also know that they're going to be caring for and trying to love. We've seen that there's been a lot of clergy that's been sent out to Wise County, and they're in Big Stone. And I know that the county itself is going to try to honor Officer Chandler and pray for those that will be ministering. You know, I mean, that is a difficult time, but somebody needs to do it, and somebody has to do it, and so we pray for them. The Ray Fields family, this is Sister Jessica Jesse's granddaddy. They laid his physical body to rest on Friday. Also, Noah has a double ear infection, so we want to pray for him. The Lily Skelton and Robin, Burl Jennings, this name, Yesnia. The COVID, those that are sick with the COVID, Mike, Michelle, and Aaron Robbins, Don Daniels, Matt Bodenkamp, Mary Jane Carter, Sister Jeanette Carter, Delbert and Martha Gillette, Sister Wilma Williams, Miss Phyllis, Susan Lassiter, Brother David Carter, and Sister Nancy, but it seems that they've got a good report this week, and we give all glory for that. Brother Pam, I don't know why. Sister Pam and Brother Jasper Brown, we pray that they're mending, and they were with us today in service. Michael Starnes, Karen McDaniel, Jared Newton, Charlie Taylor, John and Stephanie and Brenda Stinicky, Ivan Scotton, Lisa Estep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Melanie Lester, Larry Spears, Deborah Raines, Mickey O'Neill, Rick Swanson, continue to pray for him and total healing after his fall. Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stenham, Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Bueller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull and Sister Pam, Stanley and Sandy Williams, Shannon Haynes, Laura and Opal and Grayson, Roger and Virginia Edens, Kevin Tigner, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Ethan Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, David and Felicia Cantrell, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garonetti, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Sister Ruth Roten and family, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Chelsea LeBlanc, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, and then James Connor and Ricky Sheffield in need of a touch. Don't forget to pray for the Kingston Center and the nursing homes. Does anyone know if the Kingston Center is allowing visitation right now? That being said, let's pray for Brother Robert Travis. Talk with him today. And then pray for all the nursing homes, as we talked about the COVID. Those are basically danger zones right now, and it can run rampant. And we thank God that for those that are working, we forget sometimes that they are our heroes that take care when we can't take care in medical realms, and we're thankful for them just as we are. We support the troops as we celebrate Veterans Day. We support our officers as we're mindful of how fragile and how much they risk for our safety and for our medical and caregivers, because it's a calling. I believe those things are callings. And then let's remember our 500 boxes. We're claiming it in Jesus' name. Any other prayer needs tonight? Yes, sister. My goodness. We'll be praying, Sister Marshall. Anyone else? Word of praise or a prayer need? Yes, Sister Michelle. Amen. What's his name? Herman Sampson. Anyone else? I think he's on here. I might have missed it. Sometimes I jump around. Huh? Did I? Anyone else? It's good to call them out, though. That was like when Brother Otis was talking about put prayer lists up all over the place. There is that time of meditation where you try to go through the list and pray for them, but then there's those passing moments when you just walk by and one of the names catches your eye or something sparks a thought about someone. And in that moment, I believe God does it, and that for some reason, at that time, you ask people, they'll get texts out of nowhere and messages from me out of the blue where God puts them on my mind. Somebody even texts and says, is this for me? And I was like, yeah, it's for you. But just you never know what someone's going through at that time. Anyone else? We'll be praying. And in Jesus' name, the Lord knows our heart's desire for these people. Number one is for their salvation, but also that His will be done. We pray that God bring healing in the physical. We pray for peace and strength for those that are battling something, whether it be a physical or emotional, as we think about depression in this time of year, or whether it be a storm they've been pulled in by someone else, you know, that they love. Because many times we face storms that we really didn't have no hand in. It's just because we love people and let them in our lives that a lot of storms come in. But in Jesus' name, we pray His will, and we lift them up, and we will remember them in prayer as we close out our service tonight. But I want to go ahead and get into our scripture a little bit. And if you remember this morning as you're there in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm going to run you. I hope you've got your writing pad and your pencil, because we're going to run tonight. We're going to start at Genesis, and we're going to go all that. We could go to Revelation 2, verse 4, where I have somewhat against you that you have left your first love. We could take it all the way to there, but we won't do that. But I do want us, as we consider the idea of this morning's message, which is surrender, that at some point, sometimes in our life, as we mature in the Lord, we're going to recognize that the only way for growth, the only way for victorious living, the only way for there to be spiritual renewal inside of us, that it comes with us recognizing that there are certain truths that no matter how hard we may fight against them, and even if we agree with them mentally, but our flesh fights against us, that sometimes, you know, no matter how many times you put your hand to the fire, it's going to get burnt every time. And when we recognize that, it's rational to believe that when you surrender to the Lord, that in that there is victory found. When we give our lives over to Him, when we surrender, when we learn how to recognize how holy He is and how good He is to us, that we'll begin to say, I want You to have this area of my life. I want You to have this area of my life. And in that, we come to rely and trust more. And so tonight, if you remember this morning in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, it was kind of our kickoff verse. You remember they had been having 24 days of church, basically. And they had just figured out that they are God's people. I mean, He has been there for them and through the whole time. that the fact that they were being restored, that the walls had been risen up in 52 days, the fact that he was still speaking to them after they had went after other gods, but like they rehearsed over there in the chapter 9 of Nehemiah, that he brought them every time they left God because of the commitment, because that and the promises that he had made, that he brought them through. But he also let them know, hey, if you don't honor me, if you don't respect my word, then guess what? You're going to fall back again. I'm going to allow the sins that you're enjoying to overcome you. And we see that. And even in our own personal lives, we can see that you know, we can fight, we can do all we can, but sometimes we just have to say, well, really, every day we need to wake up and say, it's not my life, Lord, it's yours, and you do with it as you see fit. But you remember there in Nehemiah 38, it said, because all that is true, because God has been faithful to his people, then his people want to be faithful to him. They want to be in that covenant. They want to be in that agreement. And that's what Nehemiah said. He said, because all this is true, therefore, because all this is true, that God is a God of his word, then we want you to be in control of our lives. But you remember the idea of the binding agreement. And so tonight we're going to begin there in Genesis as we consider the covenants or the contracts that God has put his name to, the commitments that God has put his name to. Now, the most famous one is the Abrahamic covenant. I'd say that it is the most wide known of all the covenants. And we see that when that covenant is committed or passed, when God puts his name to the paper, you might say, it's there in Genesis chapter 15, verses 8 through 12 specifically. It says, but he said, Lord, how can I know that I will possess it? He's saying, God's told him, he said, listen, I want to give you something. And if you'll trust me, and if you'll agree to let me be God and for you to be my people, then I'm going to give it to you. And so he says, how will I know? Then God says in verse 9, Genesis 15, 9, he said, bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And what we must remember, that every covenant, from the Genesis in the garden to Christ on the cross, every covenant is sealed in blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no covering for sin. And so we went through this morning how that part of the way they would do it in verse 10, Genesis 15:10, says that he brought all these and split them down the middle and laid pieces opposite each other. So you see that there's one on one side. If the idea there would be a turkey breast on this side and a turkey breast or a chicken breast on this side, and there would be a side of beef on one side and a side of beef on the other side. I mean, it's kind of a vulgar scene, but do you know what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is a bloody gospel, and you cannot take the blood away from it and have the salvation that we find in Christ Jesus. And it says that in verse 11, that birds of prey as the carcasses lay on the ground, but Abraham drove them away. And then in verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and suddenly great terror and darkness descended on him. What's happening? The revelation of God. God, he is seeing the awesomeness of God. When the sun had set, verse 17 of Genesis 15, and it was dark, a smoking fire pot. And you remember, you've seen even today how that in some of the church services, they'll, especially in the more orthodox type of Catholicism, they'll walk out with the incense burner and the smoke will be coming out of that. That's kind of the picture that they would like to see here, like us to see here. But it said there was a smoking pot, which is a picture of God's praise and of his spirit, and then there's a flaming torch appeared and passed between the divided animals. On that day, the Lord made a covenant. He made a, in the Hebrew, it would be B-E-R-I-T-H, a Berith with Abram, saying, I give thee this land to your offspring from the brook of Egypt to the Euphrates River. Now remember, we talked about this morning how that a covenant or a binding arrangement is the closest thing that we could be mindful of would be kindly of entering into a legal contract or a binding agreement. How that on each side, those that come together, the Dictionary of Biblical Languages defines it as a compact, a treaty, or an agreement made between two parties, showing the exactness of the relationship between the two parties has been defined and clearly laid out, and you enter into that agreement with one with a binding promise to the other. And if you do not live up to the promise, then what happens? Then you are liable. There are consequences. There are repercussions. But when you do not uphold your side, just like with we see with the Israelites, every time that they would drift too far away from God, what would happen? He would allow the foreign nations to come in and to have their way with them. And the same is true even today with us. When we step out of God's will, guess what? There's repercussions that fall into our life. We're seeing the repercussions of walking outside of God's will every day in our country. The New American Standard defined it as to become allies or in league with one another, meaning that, that you come in and there's a partnership. There's a binding oath. And so the idea of the covenant, we're told the first one would be the where the first word, the use of the word covenant, as we see there in the book of Nehemiah, the idea of the binding agreement. The first time that we see it used in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 16, verse 18, which is called either the Noah covenant or some call it the universal covenant. It's where in Genesis 6:18 it says, God told Noah, he said, I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, with your wife, and with your sons' wives. And you see that as they entered into that, if you remember in Genesis 6:10, it tells us that about Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons that God was going to bring upon him. And it says, now God told him that the earth was corrupt in Genesis 10 and following, and that it was corrupt in God's eyes, and that he was going to bring destruction upon the earth. Why was Noah any different? In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Noah, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says that you and you alone have I found righteous, or doing what is right in my eyes. And because of that, he told him, if I'm going to make a covenant, I'm going to enter into an agreement with you, this whole of all of my creation, the sin that it's fallen under, had made me disgusted. And in all of the people that's on the planet at this time, you and your family are the ones that honor me. And so I'm going to tell you that my hand is fixing to fall. And then he goes through and he tells him to define, or he gives him instructions to build the ark, how it's to be built, how many feet it was supposed to be, and all that. But no matter if Noah would have believed God or not, God was still going to do what he said he was going to do. He was going to bring the hand of God down. But he offered him an out. Hallelujah. We said that our God would never leave us. He never leaves his people totally destroyed. He said, but if you'll build this ark, and if you'll bring the lambs and all the animals therein too, and you'll follow what I say, then I'm going to bring your family through this, and I'm going to establish you on the other side of the storm. And what do we see? In Genesis 7:11 through Genesis 8:12, we see the flood fall. We see the hand of God and the wrath of God fall down. But through it all, even it's in the New Testament, I think it's Peter that likens it to almost like a baptism. That during all that rain and that water that was falling, God's hand had Noah and his family in that ark, and nothing was going to sink it. Why? Because God said, I've made an agreement. I'm going to, if you'll trust me, if you'll listen to my words, then I'll bring you through this. Just depend upon me. Depend upon the agreement that I've made with you. And remember, we said this morning. What do we see about every covenant that God makes? That it's not based on the strength of anyone else other than God, His power, and His holiness. He says, when I enter into a covenant, you may not can hold up your end of the deal, but I'm big enough that I'm able to. And you know what? You read about Noah. He was a messed up man. He had some issues in his life. He liked to drink a little bit. I'm telling you, but what does that mean? Our idea and our definition of righteousness is not always what God says the definition of righteousness is. And God tells us, He says what? I don't look on the outer man. I don't look what might draw the attention of others, but I look on the heart. And because Noah was obedient, and I really believe that it hated. I mean, tribe or country or nationality all have a record of a great flood in their history. Now, they may view it as an isolated event, but it's funny how every different one has some type of an idea and a legend about the flood. But, you think about all that was... I mean, you've seen how flood comes through and it just washes away all the roads, the dirt, if animals get caught up in it and all, and then think of all the humanity at that time and think about it just being a big old fish bowl of everything just tossing and turning. But God said, no, I'm going to bring you through this. And then we see another mention, and the last time the idea of the covenant is mentioned in the Noah, or when God, and remember, the other name was the universal. Why would it be called? Because this is a promise made to all of humanity. From Ham Shem all the way down to every human being that would ever be born after this. Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant. This is my signature. I'm signing on the line. I am making between me and you and every living creature a covenant for all future generations. Anybody remember what that sign is? How does He sign His name to this covenant? The rainbow. He said, I'll never again bring my wrath upon my people that way or on my creation again. And the rainbow. And every time, this is what is so, so heartbreaking, but also should stir us, that the secular world and the sinful world has taken the promise of God's grace and mercy and use it as a picture of a sinful lifestyle. Now that is a blatant, arrogant, raised fist into the face of our Creator. And we forget how awesome we are. We are less than an ant under a boot. But yet He is long-suffering. All right, any thoughts about the first covenant? If we don't finish it tonight, we'll go on. But any thoughts about the agreement that God entered into between Noah and his children? And then we see that after that, once He brings Noah out, then He enters an agreement with all of humanity. And he, you know what? Humanity don't even have to sign off on it. He signed off on it. He said, I'll never again. Never again will I do that. The second one is probably the most popular that we talked about. The second mention of the word covenant, the idea of the binding agreement or an arrangement, is found over in Genesis chapter 15, verse 19. And it says, this is where we were reading from. This is tonight as we began, the idea of the covenant. And this is the Abrahamic covenant. And it says in Genesis 15:19, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I will give this land to your offspring from the brook of Egypt to the Euphrates River, and so on and so forth. But now, in case you don't remember the story about Abraham, it's another one of those like Nehemiah that take away the spirituality of it, and it's still an awesome read. I mean, just what he goes through and the drama of it. But then you see the reality. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord tells Abraham to go out from your land, to go out from your relatives, to go out from your father's house, and I will show you where to go. Basically, he told Noah, okay, buddy, I want you to get up and follow after me and just leave your mamas and daddies and just go. Genesis 12, 2 says, I will, and if you'll do this, if you'll leave home, leave mom and daddy, leave you what's comfortable, and you know what? The deeper we walk in the faith, many times we're going to be less comfortable than we were before we started living by faith. That's just the way it goes. It's just the way, that's why I like my rut, amen? I mean, that's why I like to know what's coming. But he says, I'm going to make you a great name, Abram. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and I'm going to make you that through you the whole earth is going to be blessed. All of that, Abraham, if you'll just listen to me. Now listen, God took his family out of where they were at, where they felt comfortable, and just sent them on a journey. And he says, basically, the premise is this, is during this journey, during your life, Abram, if you'll trust me, then I'm going to make of you something great, something that you could never imagine. Just like Jesus, he'll do more than you could ever imagine. But he says that I'm going to, in the broad sense, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a blessing or beneficial to all mankind. God is not, he doesn't hold back on the promises that he sends to him. He tells him that this people that I'm going to make from you, they're going to be slaves. They're going to be oppressed. And you know what? You're never on this earth going to see, not in this life will you ever physically see all that I'm going to do with your descendants. You know, none of this has been fulfilled up until chapter 15. Basically, between chapters 12 and chapters 15, we're just seeing how Abram is living by faith. And then in Genesis 15:1, it says, after these events, he called him out there in chapter 12, but then he makes a promise to him. And then we see, once again, it's God who brings back the covenant there in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. He says, after these events, the word of the Lord came to him in vision and said, don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. And then how does Abraham respond? Abraham responds to him and says, listen, I'm an old man. There in verse 15:3, he says, I'm an old man. And I can't even have a son with my wife, and so if there's even any hopes of me having a son, then I'm going to have it through one of my servants. And God reinforces all that he's told him there in verses 4 through 6 of Genesis 15. He says, from your bloodline, I'm going to make so many. He took him outside and showed him the stars and said, try to count the stars, and that'll be like trying to count your descendants. But there in 15, 13, and 14, he says, but they will be enslaved, they will be oppressed, and you will not see the fullness of my promise in your lifetime. And then one of the most awesome things that's ever recorded, God didn't say, do you want to do it this way or anything like that. Basically, God just said, I want to enter into an agreement, and I'm asking you to trust me. And in Genesis 15, 6, what does it say? It says it was that Abram believed God. Simple. Abraham, we make it so hard. Abraham believed God, and what happened? It was accounted to him as righteousness, or God saw in his heart that he was right with him. Now, again, Abraham's going to make some awesome mistakes. I mean, he's going to have a child with his handmaiden. Because why? Because he can't wait on God. But still, we see that God accounted him to his righteousness. Not because of what he did do or he didn't do. No, it's because even though that Abraham was going to falter and he was going to fail, even though the nation that come from his loins was going to falter and he was going to fail, God said there in verses 8 through 12, when we see as he signs the agreement, as he walks through the sacrifice where the blood has been spilt, what does he do? He doesn't even make Abraham walk through it with him. He says, it's all going to be dependent upon me. Like we studied this morning over in the book of Hebrews, when God found that there was nothing greater to swear by, he swore by himself. He swore by himself. And as we see that, we see that all this, and then it goes on, it's passed on, but not only from Abraham to Isaac and to Jacob, and then what happens? They become that nation over in Egypt that is oppressed. But all of that, who is that? That's God being promised. He's fulfilling his promise to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham believed God. He trusted God. Then there's the covenant that was given to Moses, or the Mosaic covenant. I'm not going to go through all of that, but you can look up in the book. You can start wherever you want to. Exodus is where I'd recommend, but then you've got Leviticus, you've got Numbers, you've got Deuteronomy. They're gonna go. But in this, we see that God is going deeper in his relationship with humanity. Before, it was Abraham listened to God and he trusted God, but now God is speaking to his people and he's laying out, hey, I've made you this people. I've brought you this far. I've placed my hand on you. I'm gonna be your God and you're gonna be my people. And that's when we see that he lays out the law. He lays out the moral law, but also we see he lays out the religious law for the, and then also the national law for the Hebrews. And so we see that begin. And then there's the Davidic covenant. This is the one. But again, think about it with Moses. Were they able to gain the promised land because they were able to defeat others and because they always did what was right? Nope. God brought them through. Why? Because his name was on the line. It was for his name's sake, for his glory. And then there's the Davidic covenant. Remember David? David was a young, ruddy shepherd boy. Kind of like this morning as we talked about and have been talking about Nehemiah. There was nothing about David to look on that you would think God would ever use him. But the Bible says that God could see his heart and that he had a heart that was near unto God's. And so David wants to build him a building. And this is David of the and Goliath fame, you know, David and Goliath. And God raised him up. But you know what else we know about David? Yeah, we know about David and Goliath, but we also know about David and Bathsheba, don't we? He had his issues, man. He wasn't a perfect ruler. He wasn't the perfect king, but God promised him. He said, out of you, I'm going to raise up a Savior for all, a King of all kings. Out of him, all nations shall be blessed. But what we see in every one of these is that only thing that God expected out of the people of God was for them to trust him, for us to trust him. Hey, remember, Abraham did what? What did he do? Believe God, and God said, you're right with me, right? We read that in where we just read it back in Genesis chapter 15, where he said, and he believed God, but then we see it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Romans chapter 4, verse 22, James chapter 2, verse 23, and then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. What was that? It's saying that Abraham believed that God was able to raise back up his son if he just trusted him. You remember when he carried him up onto Mount Sinai and was almost to thrust it, and what did God do? God says, nope. Just like he, who did he do that with too? he said, my name's on it. Remember? We deal with him. It's, Isaac. And then we see that he did the same thing with Abraham, though, right? He said, you just go to sleep. I've got this. This one's on me. We see it with David. And see, it's that, the same covenant that we see in Christ Jesus. You see, before we could ever accept salvation, before we could ever be saved, God knew before the foundations of the earth that Jesus Christ was crucified. He knew that and who is Jesus? We've got to remember who Jesus is. Jesus is not just some man, not just some great prophet. He is God in the flesh. He brought his own self to the, and put his own name on it, that he was crucified, buried, and dead, but on the third day he rose again, and by his name and his power, now whosoever believes on Jesus Christ, then we're a part of that covenant. We're entered into that agreement. We just have to do like the rest from all the way back of the other covenants. What do? We trust God. We trust God. And it was like that. I mean, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And I'm going to have to stop right here. But what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What's it saying? Trust in God. Isn't that's what they were in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, they were crying out saying, Lord, we want to trust you with our work. We want to trust you with our home. We want to trust you with our finances. We want to trust you with our spiritual and eternal life. We just want to surrender it all over to you. Oh, we love this verse. We say this verse. Romans 8:23, and we know that all things work together for the good of God who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. What are we saying there? I trust God. I trust in Jesus. There's another one. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Again, what are we saying? We're saying that I trust him with everything. And then, so now think about that. Think about that. Because, and what we sing this morning, and I'm going to tie it all back together and try to put it in a bow, is remember, we were going to talk about, and God willing, we will a little bit more next week, what does it look like when you surrender? Now think about the areas that they brought up. What was the first one? In my home. That's one of the most valuable parts of our lives, isn't it? I'd say that, like many of me, there's nothing that you wouldn't give to make sure that your home was safe, that those under it were took care of. You see, we have to say, Lord, if there's any hope, then it's got to be your home and not my home. I've got to let your words dictate the way that we live in this house. And we're living in that. And I'm telling you, I'm raising two teenagers. I'm trying to find that balance, you know what I mean? And it's difficult at times. But I always need to be reminded that when it comes to raising my children, when it comes to the way the homes run, we need to let the word do the talking. And the authority of the word stand for itself with our children. Amen? And then what did they say? I want you to be a part of my work. I want you to, from what I do with the labor of my hands, how I spend the most of my day, I don't want to find my identity in that work, but Lord, I want to find my identity in you as I work. Because whether I be doctor, lawyer, preacher, banker, whatever, it doesn't matter the label, I'm yours. I've surrendered it over to you. So it may not look like everybody else's work, but that's okay. Why? Because it's not mine. I surrender. I'm in this covenant with you. And then he says, what about my finances? Oh man, who? I mean, who wants to not have control over their finances? And we tell ourselves we do, but you know what? There could be a glitch in the matrix and we all be broke in the morning. You know, I mean, we could be back in the Great Depression type stuff. It's only by his hand that we have a dime to even rub our fingers upon. So we just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with it. What does that mean? That means I'm going to give off the top. Now, I told you this morning, I'm a 10% man, but you pray between you and God and at least take it off the top. That's why they said we give our first fruits. That's why we give the best, everything. We don't, remember, they said we're not going to sell our first fruits. We're not going to sell the best looking and the ripest and all that. We're going to give that to God. We're going to let Him have it. Why? Because, Lord, we surrender. We want You to have control of our finances. And then over the spiritual life, over spiritual living. I mean, man, even with this, the Judeo-Christian moral code, our forefathers as Americans all didn't agree upon what theology and all that, but they did agree upon that there was no greater code of morality than that had been given through the Judeo-Christian ethics. That's why we have to interpret our Constitution and all of that. We have to interpret it through the eyes and the wisdom of Scripture, because in that we find the freedom to live as free men. We're not bound by anything. So, and then the spirituality of it. Lord, just take control of it all. Take control of it all. So as we think about that, and we see as we tie it in with Nehemiah, they weren't saying, God, we're coming into this with You and we're going to really show off and do all that. They're just coming in and saying, Lord, we want to give You all these things because we recognize that if we're going to make it, You're going to do it. You brought Noah through it. You brought Abraham through it. You brought David through it. You know, another covenant relationship, marriage. It's a binding agreement. Hey, I tell you, most people that's ever experienced a divorce, and even if it might have been God telling them at that point, it had gotten to that point, but they would say, man, it'd sure been easier if we wouldn't have went the way that brought divorce. Even if they didn't believe in God, they might still say, I wish I'd have never had to have a divorce. So we see that, yes, it sounds sometimes oversimplified, but when it comes to the covenants of God, we simply have to be as Abraham, where it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Hallelujah. Any thoughts on tonight's lesson? All right, don't forget, Tuesday morning, 11 a.m., then also, there'll be the gathering at from 2 to 5 this week. 3 to 5, the Operation Christmas Child. And then 6 o'clock, choir practice and service after that. Church at 7. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this time You've given us together. I thank You for Your word. And God, that no matter what, it will not fail us, just like You will not fail us. You will never leave us in defeat. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that I can trust You, and teach me how to trust You more. Forgive me of my sins, and let me be the Jesus that others may need in their lives tonight and tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, the same for others. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.